Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you the glory. Thank you, God, for the victory that you won. You defeated death. You're alive today. And God, as we study your word together tonight, I pray that you will speak to us. Meet us where we're at tonight. Challenge us, God, to live according to your word. Lives to your glory. Amen. So, great. I was about to say, let's remain standing for the reading, but let's sit down for the reading. So, we're reading today from 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 12. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. See who is in Babylon, chosen together with you. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Great. So as we start now, I'm Nina. I'm the family pastor in the church. And it's a pleasure to get to speak to you tonight. But before we start, I want you to sit back and enjoy. It's from my favorite show of all times. Ready? It's amazing. How many of you have seen at least one episode of Friends? Yes. How many of you have seen the whole series? Okay. I honestly have to admit, I've seen this show so many times. You have no idea. It went on repeat. We watched it every afternoon when I was a teenager growing up back home. And we looked forward to the new episode of the week. And then when it started going running daily, I watched it again and again and again. The only challenge is that for me, this television show became the answer to what a friendship looks like. It doesn't really work that way. But it's something in the sentence, I'll be there for you because you're there for me too, that I want to speak about tonight. As we finish our series on 1 Peter, we see how Peter hasn't just written to anybody. He's written to particular people at a specific time, at a specific place. And he writes, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you. And it might be a description because he was a faithful preacher working faithfully to spread the gospel, which is probably the truth if this is the Silas that we also read about in the book of Acts and that Paul mentions. But what if Peter here says, whom I regard as a faithful brother in the sense, my faithful friend? And that's in that context where we know how important these friendships are in the early church. I want to ask you tonight, do you have a faithful friend? Are you a faithful friend to someone? So it's quite optimistic of me, but we're going to dive into scripture together. And instead of looking to friends, we're going to look into this book and see what is it that it's teaching us about faithful friendships. So let us start off in Genesis. And we hear all the way at the start how God created Adam. And Adam spent time with God. There was, however, one thing that was missing. And in Genesis 2, verse 18, we hear, "The Lord said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" So in other words, despite of the fact that Adam had God, something was missing. It wasn't all as good as it could be. Adam needs a suitable helper. He needs someone who's equal to him. He needs a friend. And it might be that you're thinking, "Oh, but I thought this whole story was about Adam and Eve and their romantic love and that love that they shared." But that's not the only love. Adam and Eve were the two first friends. We can't forget the important element of friendship love in any relationship. And unfortunately, that also means that when sin enters this world, when the fall is described in Genesis 3, we hear how Adam and Eve are hiding from God, but also from each other. Shame becomes a part of this world, and the openness, the vulnerability, and the trust, all of the key elements for friendships, are lost. So another thing, like what I want to tell you now at the start is, it wasn't perfect before God made a friend for Adam. So even if you're in here tonight and you have a longing for friendship, that's a godly longing. It's a part of who we're created to be. We're created for fellowship in the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to reflect him as we love each other. It doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. There's nothing wrong in wanting friends, in looking for relationships. But so from this part of scripture, the key thing to remember is we're made for friendship. But from then on, we see how friendship is such an important topic all the way through scripture. We see it in how God wants to rebuild his friendship with us. There are a few people that are described as walking with God, basically being friends of God. We hear how Moses speaks to him, to God face to face, and Abraham is described as a friend of God. But then Jesus comes and everything changes. When he says, "I no longer call you servant, but friends." And then he goes on saying, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone who lays down his life for his friend." You can, in other words, say that Jesus dying on the cross was an act of friendship to make it possible for us to be friends of God again. But all the way parallel to like this story about God trying to sort this friendship, we also see how significant friendships with other people are. In the Old Testament, we hear how Naomi had Ruth, King David had Jonathan, a beautiful friendship, so significant to King David that he, at the death of Jonathan, said, "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of any woman." So all the way throughout scripture, friendship is held so highly. The book of Proverbs teaches us that friendship, when it's chosen right, friends can be the greatest source of love, healing, joy, and encouragement. And then we're in the situation in the passage we dive into today. After Jesus had had his 12 disciples, then his three closer friends, and then John who was described as the one he loved. We see in the early church all of these significant friendships. And that relationship between like God's love for us, our friendship with God, and our friendship with others draws me to point two. I think we all can be faithful friends. No, it's not easy at all times. But I believe that as believers, we are equipped to be faithful friends. And I think it's important that we are faithful friends. Not to everyone, but to a few people in our lives. And the main reason I dare to claim that is, as many of us know, in 1 John 4, we hear, we love because he loved us first. And then a few verses later, perfect love drives out all fear. And that means that because if we know that we're loved with the Father, we're His friend, we can love others. Because we are forgiven and know forgiveness, we can forgive others. Because we have received grace, we can be gracious to others. And knowing who we are makes it less terrifying as well to enter into those friendships. The fear of either letting other people down or the fear of being hurt and rejected. If we know the Father's love for us, if we're safe in that friendship, it might make it a little bit less terrifying. But I know that I'm speaking to a room where probably most of you have been let down. You have been hurt by someone you have considered a friend of you. And I believe that God wants to heal a few from that pain and that hurt as well, to set you free, to dare to go into these deep, loving friendships again. And then secondly, we have been given the Holy Spirit, and it's incredible how he can support us when we try to build friendships. We can ask him for wisdom. We can ask him for an ability to comfort people when they're in need. We can ask for boldness to speak truth. We can ask for the wisdom when we try to discern who our closer friends will be. We can ask for grace, for patience. And I think he will enable us and help us as we seek to build friendships. And I know it's not easy. Maybe you're a bit like me. It's super simple to get to know 1,000 people. But to go deeper, to dare to be vulnerable, to dare to trust, to dare to be a friend, that takes a lot of courage. Or maybe you're the complete opposite. You can't stand the idea of having to socialize. So the fact that you have to go out and make that initial step terrifies you. But as soon as you're there, it's not a problem at all to go deep. I think all of us struggle when it comes to building friends in different ways. And we have to figure out what it looks like for us. But tonight, why don't you have a think? How can I be a faithful friend? What in the way I build friendships do I need to work on? Or if you have some of those close friends, maybe how can you bless them through this coming week? And I just want to share a short little story because I honestly think that God will help us when it comes to building friendships. And when I was 13, I felt extremely lonely. Might be a surprise to those who know me now, I wasn't as chatty or as bubbly or as outgoing. And I struggled to find my place. And I remember through my summer holidays, I started praying and writing down in my like youth prayer journal, "Dear God, I pray for a best friend. I want a best friend. I want one friend that is mine." And I thought, I'm not sure how God's going to sort this little problem in my little village. I know everyone. But when I flew back home after our football match, I ended up at IKEA with a girl who lived 20 meters away from me. And we chatted. And we continued on the phone. And then we had a girl's sleepover. And it was God giving me the gift of friendship. But it was only 2 years later when my youth pastor preached on the topic of friendship. I can't remember what he said, with exception from, you need to choose your friends and commit to them. In a culture where it's all pick and choose, where we do a bit of what we want and what we prefer and what we like, he encouraged us to choose each other. And we call it Tinky Winky Swear in Norwegian. With our little fingers, like this, I might encourage you to pray instead. But 15 years later, we're still friends. Has it been easy? No. I've let her down. I've hurt her in the worst thinkable way. She has let me down. But we've continued to choose each other, to be faithful friends. Through our deep conversations, through the conversations about the best nail polish, in our hurts, when we've been laughing, she's my friend, and we continue to choose each other. And now she lives in Oslo, I live here. We don't chat every day, but we know that we got each other because we chose to verbalize it and commit to faithful friendship. So then finally, why am I speaking about faithful friendship here today? I think we need it. I think we need faithful friends in Oxford, in our church today. It was so significant. It's so significant throughout Scripture, as I've told you, in the early church. But C.S. Lewis wrote 70 years ago saying, "To the ancient, friendship seemed the happiest and most fully human of all loves, the crown of life and the school of virtue. The modern world, in comparison, ignores it." And I'm wondering if it, unfortunately, is something true in what he wrote then, today. Might we have forgotten about the beauty of friendship, love? Are we just a little bit too busy? Do we move a little bit too much and spend a little bit too much on social media? Have we forgotten what it means to be faithful friends? Because the thing is, we can't have 1,000 close friends. And Facebook might have changed our definition of what a friend actually is. What used to be people we know are now labeled as our friends. And as I was preparing for this talk, I read a brilliant book by Drew Hunter called Made for Friendship. And I was deeply challenged, and I thought, is this true in my life? When he said, friendship should be more like a submarine, holding a few and going deep. But we made it more like a cruise ship, filled with lots of nice people whom we don't know well at all. If friend means everyone, then friend means nothing. Might we have lost some of the significance of what a friend is, even in this church? Back in 2017, the charity Relations published a survey that said that 1 in 8, 13% of all people living in the UK report having no friends. And the same report showed that 45% of all adults feel lonely, at least sometimes. And 18% that they feel lonely often or all the time. And the younger you were, the more lonely you felt. So we have the word of the Bible teaching us how important it is to have friends. At the same time, so many of us are so lonely. How do those two go together? And what is it we can do to change that situation? Because I think something needs to change. We're made for friendship. We can be faithful friends. So maybe we should have a think. What is it we can do to be faithful friends? And the final thing I'm going to say, I'm just going to mention it quickly, is that in the New Testament, there are four different words for love. One of them is agape, which is unconditional and inclusive love. The love God has for people, limited to none and extended to all. And then it's philia, which is the friendship love. It's exclusive, limited, and only for a few. I know in my life, I've been good at following Jesus' commandment of loving all. But there are two ways of loving, and we need both. We can't just love everyone. We need our faithful friends. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Who is that friend for you? And maybe it is something we can learn from the final line of the intro to Friends. I'll be there for you, because you're there for me too. We're made for friendships. And I believe we can be faithful friends, and that both this church and our society needs it. Let us stand.